Securities and Advisory Services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien, host of the Retirement Life and Investing Show here on 94.9 FM. How's everybody doing this morning? The sun is coming out, and it's a great time to be alive here in America. I'm with Janine Gita, right, Gita?
Yes.
Janine, I said that right.
She's
She's my co-host today, and Janine is a marriage and youth therapist.
Marriage and family therapist.
You do youth, too. Though.
Absolutely.
You talk to a lot of kids, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, Janine's here not because I need a therapist, because the market's corrected. Well, maybe a little bit of But I just want to share with you this little story here before my sister Loretta texted me. Yesterday, it was kind of sad because she told me my Uncle Pat had passed away yesterday afternoon. He was well into his 80s. Uncle Pat had a great life surrounded by family, numbers in the dozens now. He had immigrated from Roscommon, like my dad, Roscommon, Ireland. And his sister, my aunt, Molly, my dad's sister, who he had married here several years after my dad and mom had gotten married. Matter of fact, he babysat me when I was a baby. And when he was still dating my aunt, because my aunt was a little younger than dad, and they weren't married yet. So it would not be an understatement to say Uncle Pat and I went way, way back. And may God rest his soul, a kinder, more gentle soul I have never met in my life. So I just wanted to get that out there, because Uncle Pat Mullen, he was a very, very sweet man and everything else. So, Janine, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm here at a radio show. That's kind of crazy.
Wasn't easy getting you on.
No, it wasn't.
Well, yeah, Janine has a very, very, very busy practice. And if you picture a therapist that stares icily back at you with barely concealed contempt, that's not Janine. You like that line? I wrote that this morning. You know, a lot of therapists, you know, they kind of like, you know, kind of stare at you while you're bearing your soul and everything. Not that I know from experience. Maybe I do. I don't know.
Therapy is nothing to be ashamed of.
But Janine is the warmest, most empathetic person you could ever ask for. She's rooting for you to overcome your fears, negative thoughts, anger, and everything else that you may have buried in your emotional closet. Hey, you like that one?
I do like that one.
That's pretty good. Feel free to borrow it. Gathered during your lifetime on this earth. No, she's not my therapist yet, but you never know. Right now, Daisy the Beagle is my sounding board. And as long as I feed her, she's content in that role and will never spill the beans, thank God, for
True.
Daisy, right?
True.
How many people do you think actually talk to their pets?
Oh, everybody. If you've got a pet, you talk to it.
Turtles?
Yes. I have a turtle. I totally talk to my turtle.
Oh, that's so funny. I mean, it's just amazing. Your job and my job are not that different. In some ways, you know, of course, there's huge differences. But this week in particular, I had a lot of interesting situations with family matters. And I think maybe it's the holidays coming.
Oh, absolutely.
What happens? Everybody gets supercharged?
Holidays often evoke anniversaries. You know, things happen. Emotions get a little bit more intense. There's memories from childhood. There's disappointments, there's family get-togethers that are obligatory.
Right.
It just really stirs up the pot. And it also brings up some feelings of what I wish that I had that I maybe don't necessarily have.
Right.
You know, maybe I'm alone at the holidays. Maybe, you know, I had a partner who died. Maybe I wish I had a partner, or just those feelings of what I do not have that I wish I had. And during the rest of the year, I can just go about my normal day and work and do whatever and not think about it.
Right.
But in the holidays, it's all around you. It's on every commercial, every TV show. And so it's much harder to just kind of push it to the back of your brain.
You think that's why the ratings for the Hallmark Channel are so high, is people want to reminisce about happier times?
Reminisce, distraction, maybe get some feelings from the TV show that aren't necessarily...
in their lives.
Something that's happening in their specific lives.
I want to tell you a story about something that happened this week. I had a couple of parents come in, and they have a college-age kid. And the kid wanted to go to school down south. Mm-hmm. I really want to go down south. And he's not a big talker, the kid, but he's real stubborn, real strong, one of those. And the money wasn't there. So the parents said, listen, you have to go to Eastern and everything else. Well, the kid now has been coming home angry.
Mm-hmm.
Angry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, really, just really angry and sullen and won't talk and everything else.
Yeah.
And the parents are like, what's going, what do we do? Our angel child has now at 18, 19 turned into this really angry kid. And I, you know, we talked a long time because I raised three boys, so I have a little experience with them. Mm-hmm. Not to say I'm an expert in their particular
None
situation.
Of us are.
But they turned to me specifically to ask, you know, what to do. And what are your thoughts on a situation like that? How would you, you know, what would you want to talk to the boy in terms of finding out, you know, what's going on internally with him? It's got to be long festering, I would think, on other
stuff.
Well,
it could be, but you never really know. The challenge with therapy is in my opinion, therapy should be individually based.
Right.
You don't come at people like their situations, cookie-cutter situations.
Right.
Maybe he's got a situation that's been festering for, you know, his whole life. Maybe it's just something simple that a good conversation could resolve.
Right.
And so when I walk into a situation with clients, I walk into it knowing I don't know anything.
Right.
So walking into it with that clear slate to say, I want to hear your individual situation and support you to find out from your point of view and from your situation, your thoughts and those dynamics.
Right.
If I go in with assumptions,
right.
Well, then that's where what you talked about with the, you know, the icy stare and the judgments for stereotypical therapy comes in.
Right.
Because they're walking in with this, well, this is what I think you need to change attitude.
Right.
Walking in with, I want to hear your story. That's where the answers come from.
Right.
So my first suggestion would be to simply sit down and really listen to this person, this young man.
So you believe that the answer or the solution or a relief is there within them. It's just helping them guide them to the path where they
Absolutely.
Can discover it.
Absolutely.
So it's a self-discovery
No doubt.
Journey.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because, again, if I assume that I know the answer, well, shame on me because I don't have all the answers. I'm not God. People have the answers inside of them. Even if I think I have the answer, what may fit for you, Dennis, may not fit for, you know, Joe in the exact same situation.
Just, I'm a numbers guy, so sorry to ask this type of question. Well, what percentage of these cases are, well, let's go back on the next, maybe next period. I was going to ask you about how much is related to parents usually and everything else. So let's get back to that. If people need to reach you, go to your website. It's www.janine9.
Right. So if my name is spelled J-A-N-I-N-E, if you take out the A, it's the letter J and spelling out the word nine. So it's J-9.
J-9 at J-9 Consulting and Consultation.
Counseling and Consultation.com.
Her number is 860-451-8667. If you feel you need help, call her. Maybe she can help you on your road to self-discovery. We'll be back in a few minutes with the Retirement Life and Investing Show. Bye-bye. Retirement Life and Investing Show. Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement. Me and Janine Gita from J9 Counseling and Consultation.
Yes, got it that time.
Right.
Yes, you got it that time. Thank you.
So we're talking about the angry college student and everything else. The other one I want to talk to you about is the son that's in business with his dad. But he wants separation from his dad since he got married. He wants his own place. He wants separation, start his life with his wife and everything else. The dad came in. Dad was hurt. Dad says, you know, my son and I. And I said, you know what? I knew this one, though. I said, listen, it's boys. They leave the house. They get married. even though you're very close and you live in close proximity and you're in business together, it's very, very natural. Try not to be angry at him. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I would pursue why he is angry. Typically, there's more emotions behind the anger. Anger isn't... Yeah. Anger is very simple on the outside, but we call it, in our psychobabble terms, I call it a secondary emotion. There's always something that happens before it.
Right.
So I would explore what's before it. Are you feeling betrayed? Are you feeling lonely? Are you feeling...
I think it's loneliness. You remember the little guy's following around with a hammer for years. And you know, your parents still view you as the little one running around.
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't matter how old you got.
Absolutely.
I go home, my mother can make me feel like nine, like in 2 seconds, you know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's stuff like that.
Yeah, so I would explore that. And I would also explore the son's point of view, because dad may be, and again, this is just assuming, it would go through the conversation, you know, evoking those answers.
Yep.
But since he's not in the room, this dad may be making some assumptions on the son's point of view that may not be correct.
Right.
You know, the son may have a point of view of being proud of, you know, hey, dad, I'm doing this and I'm branching out because of the tools that you gave me.
Right.
And it may help dad to be more proud
as
opposed to sad or angry.
Right.
So again, it's about the communication, the conversation.
Right. Now, the other thing I run across a lot of time too, Janine, is, after long-term marriage, if a spouse passes, the loneliness of the remaining spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I always urge them to get out and start, you know, if it's a sewing circle or if it's a widower, get out there. Even if you're just going to Dunkin' Donuts to chat an hour a day with your friends, whatever it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We got these meeting clutches all over town where I live. And I know every one of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's guys, sometimes it's a group of ladies. Sometimes, you know, they mix together and get some drama, especially in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't really stop the high school drama, no matter how old they get.
No, we'd like to think it does, but it really kind of doesn't.
But the loneliness of the remaining spouse, do you see that in your practice at all?
Or? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mother is sitting there. She's like, you promised you wouldn't refer to me. My mother is to my left-hand side here. And
she won't come on, though.
She won't. She's shaking her head. She's shaking her head. But, but she's Facebook Living it for me as she's shaking her head. My mother and father were married for over 50 years. They got together when they were 16 years old.
Yeah.
And when he passed... I mean, that's your whole, it's like half of your life is gone. It's just pulled out from underneath you.
Right.
And it makes sense that you would feel just a huge amount of emotions and lost in what to do with yourself.
Right.
And I think one of the most important things to remember is that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
People feel bad that they feel bad.
Yeah.
It's okay that you feel bad.
It's okay to feel.
Exactly.
Everybody thinks we got to be this tough exterior.
Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, but I've got anxiety and I've got depression. I'm like, well, you know, considering what you've been through, if you weren't anxious and depressed, I'd be worried.
Exactly.
That's a natural reaction.
Exactly.
And so one of the first steps is to allow yourself to feel and not try to squash it or suppress it. But, you know, just it's a part of the human condition and live it and don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
And then you find the tools eventually, little by little, to combat it.
Yeah, I've had a couple of the guys and the wives passed, and they say, you know, I met this lady, but go out to dinner, do something, go.
But you know,
even if you don't like her, just for friends and companionship, so we go to the movies with.
Yeah, that's true. And at the
doesn't
same time, if you're not ready for it, if you need to wait to go out with your friends for, you know, a month or 2 months, if that's what you need, do that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to, you know, a week later after somebody's passed, well, I have to go out and do something now. No, give yourself that time to grieve. And eventually it gets to the point where, okay, there's little red flags coming up where, all right, we've crossed a line where now you really do need to push yourself. But everybody has a different place where that line is.
I got a funny story about that.
Uh-huh.
Family member, he's down in the villages in Florida, right? So his wife passed. You know, she was a distant aunt. He was a distant uncle. So he calls up his wife's sister up here, and he says to her, I met somebody, and I want to get remarried. And she says to him, Tom, and this is the old Irish, okay? And it might be true in the Italiano families, but in the old Irish, Dom, you got to wait a year, my mother said. My mother was dead serious. I go, you cannot marry that woman until a year is over. And that's old school.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind leaving the house.
Mm-hmm.
Dressed in black, you know, the old time, right? Sicily, right?
Yep.
So he waited. He waited a year.
Mm.
And the day after, I guess, he got hitched. Because, yeah, he was a good-looking guy. He's down in the villages. It's 10 to 1.
Mm.
Right? The dropping off casserole dishes at his front door. You know?
But, you know, that's beautiful on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
I mean, that he found somebody else that he felt that companionship with enough to marry, and that he had that much confidence in it and respect for his mom to wait that year. It's really kind of a beautiful story.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, like anything else, and she's a lovely lady, and they seem pretty happy, so... you know, it is what it is. The other thing I see a lot of is second marriage. They come in, they both have grown children, they get remarried, okay, either divorce or widowed or whatever. They both have assets, okay, and then you're in a minefield, because when you get remarried and you have assets, you better make sure those assets you've worked it out with your adult children that those assets are protected for their use. And something's left, you know, for the remaining spouse. If she has her assets, her children, you know, get first dibs on that, you know, open to. So I see a lot of that. And that's a real, real issue with a lot of families. I go, you can really screw that up very easily because nobody has experience with it.
Yeah.
It's a first time type of thing. So,
absolutely.
So I ask a few probing questions like, have you thought of this? Have you thought of that? And I could see that the wheels starting to turning, you know, both second spouses. And I'm like, you guys have to deal with it and then have the conversations with the kids. So there's happy Thanksgiving, happy Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever dinners you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody knows where everybody stands and there's no monkey business going on with changing wheels last minute and all that monkey stuff. So I see stuff like that. The other thing I see is memory loss for seniors.
Mm.
You come across that in your practice at all?
Oh,
people?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And the challenges of being the adult child and watching your parents change, watching your parents evolve to their next stage of life and the changes that come with that.
Right.
It's you know, I went to therapy myself, you know, and I said, you know what, when did I become the adult? When did I become the one who, you know, pays all the bills and takes care of my mother?
Right.
And the emotional responsibility that comes with that. And the challenges of the existential angst, the, you know, hey, I'm next in line then, you know, because when I was 18, hey, I've got the whole head of my life, you know, in front of me.
Right.
Now I'm going on 50 and you know, I remember my family members becoming 50 and it seemed so far away.
Right.
And again, my mother's in her 70s now.
Right.
And, you know, the realism is life is going to end.
Right.
And to think that, you know, hey, if I've got 20 years left, you know, it's speaking from my mother's point of view, then that would be a blessing.
Right.
It's scary,
right.
And it's a real challenge.
Right.
So in therapy, to face that and to find some kind of serenity with it, rather than just hiding from it or getting angry at it, but finding a way to embrace it and live with peace with it, it's helpful.
Do you run across one of my pet peeves is doctors mix medications.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's driving me nuts. I come across a family situation where the doctors say, oh, get off of that. But if they go to get off of that, that's a six-week thing where they have to be weaned off because you're dealing with brain chemistry in some cases or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get straight off something like that. They don't seem to realize that.
Yeah.
And then the mix of stuff, one doesn't know what the other one's doing.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation that is way out of my purview.
But I think it's killing a lot of people.
Not only the older members of society, but, you know, in the younger society, my goodness.
Well,
when you've got like a 5-year-old who's on massive meds and or a 16-year-old who's on antidepressants.
Oh my God.
You know, I mean, in some cases, you know, maybe that's applicable. Again, I'm not a doctor, not a psychiatrist. I don't dispense medications. That's not my area of expertise.
Right.
But as a member of society, it is within our rights to question and to say, is this the right thing? Yeah. Because when you've got somebody who is, again, their body is still developing, yeah, or, you know, in the elders who it's just changing, there's so much that we don't know. Yeah. There's so much that we don't know.
Then you have this Purdue Pharmaceutical synthetic heroin called OxyContin. That was given out like candy, mm-hmm, back in the day, and then they couldn't get it anymore, so mm-hmm, they went to street heroin, mm-hmm, and now they're lacing that with fentanyl out of China, mm-hmm, which is 1,000 times more powerful. It's like putting plastic in your body, and we're up running off 1,500 up from 1,100.
And the sad part about it is it's really not about people who are weak or you know they've got problems. You've got people who they're in pain. And it's the natural human condition when you are in pain to seek ease.
Yeah.
Nobody would argue with that. Any person who has ever been in pain, whether it's emotional pain or physical pain, it's natural to simply seek something that is going to ease that pain.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
So if you have something like OxyContin or heroin, and that's the thing that has eased your pain, again, it's not something to condemn. It's something to say, okay, how do we find other ways to help people ease their pain? And how do we avoid that to begin with, that set up for addiction?
Well, we're going to come back in a few minutes. This is the Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien with my co-host today, Janine Gita from J9 Counseling and Consulting.
He'll get it by the end of the show.
I'll get it eventually. My point was I wasn't reading it that time. See you in a few. Thanks. Bye-bye. Retirement Life and Investing Show. Dennis O'Brien, your host, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretirement.com.
Did you almost forget your own name on that one?
Oh, man, I'm telling you. I was up. She tapped on the door 4 in the morning, my therapist, the Beagle. She's 14 and a half. She wears a diaper. And so what happens is she pees in it, and it starts falling off. Mm-hmm. And she taps. She's like, Daddy, rescue me from this diaper. You know? It's like an anchor. So I had to follow her. I just, there's the diaper. She must be close. And I follow her around the house and everything else.
Yeah, my dog had that when he was older as well.
I know. Okay, I got to do some dry financial stuff here, Janine, so bear with me.
Do it up.
Okay, do it up here. All right, we're getting ready to save more. In 2019, the Treasury Department has announced inflation-adjusted figures for retirement accounts. For 2019, there's a lot of changes that will help savers stuff those accounts. After 6 years stuck at $5,500, the amount you can contribute to an IRA is now $6,000 for 2019, up $500. 401k... 401k or similar workplace retirement plan goes from $18,500 to $19,000 on the max. So if you're in your 50s, early 60s, and trying to put the max away, you could do $19,000 plus your catch-up. Since you're over 50, you can do another $6,000, which is unchanged. So you can do the $19,000 plus $6,000, which adds up to $25,000 a year into your 401k if you're over 50 to catch up. And an extra $1,000 in your IRA, so you can actually do $7,000 as a catch up in your IRA, which is a decent amount. For those high earners and super savers age 50 plus, you can put $32,000 in tax advantaged accounts. If your employer allows after tax, you can even put in more. So they have some unbelievable numbers for that. So let's see here. 401 catch-up, we talked about that. SEP IRAs and solo 401ks. For the amount of, you can put in a SEP IRA or solo 401k goes from $55,000 2018 to $56,000. That's based on the amount they contribute as an employer, percentage of their salary, blah, 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 blah. The simple IRA goes from $12,500 to $13,000 in 2019, and you still have a catch-up of $3,000. So if you're over 50, you can put a maximum of $16,000 into your simple. And simple's are really easy to set up. So we got that. Deductible IRA discounts, they raised the amount, so you you can deduct it up to a certain income, and then it phases out. I'm not going to get into those numbers. Roth IRA, same thing. I told you it'd be boring, dry financial stuff. But it's important to people that are planning for next year, how much can we put away. And they haven't raised the numbers in 6 years, so it was kind of a big thing. Also, interest rates are still rising, so I think many of you should start looking at U.S. Treasury indexes, the short maturities, to protect your principal until rates peak. The goal is to protect your money while earning more than the bank, but be liquid enough to move out of the short-term Treasury indexes and move out in the curve if the economy cools off and the rates start to drop. If oil continues to go down, and oil's been going down big time, then the world is getting a big tax cost cut and will help economic growth in countries and regions that use oil. The ones that produce it, they're going to be hurting. But the ones that use it, which is most of the world, will be getting a big cut and everything else. So look at that. In a strange way, this actually helps the stock market and consumer spending. Obviously, if you're spending 30, 40, 50 cents less at the pump, you'll be happy about that. Another thing I noticed this week is the Chinese are allowing American Express to come in and handle some of their credit processing. And this is like the first crack in the Chinese wall with negotiations with Trump. It's they're actually extending an olive branch to the Trump administration. It's very encouraging. For the first time, they're budging a little bit. The millennial stocks, the Facebooks, Amazons, the big one, the big fangs, they call them, have come down pretty good in this correction. That's why Janine's here. She's my therapist. I believe that some of them will help. I think some of them will go up many times over the next decade. So take advantage of this. When the bottom comes, it'll move very, very quickly to the upside. So you have to be early to the party. I think you just got to buy them early and hold on to them, because I think they're going to go up and everything
so
else.
So can I share with you the laugh about this?
What's that?
You talk about money and all of these different things.
Yeah.
And to be perfectly honest with you,
yeah,
I zone out.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But you know why?
Why?
Because people think therapists make a lot of money.
Yeah.
We don't. We don't.
Got to write a book.
So, I am. Thanks for the plug. But to go back to my original point, we really, really, I mean, psychiatrists and psychologists, yes, they can bring in the money.
Yeah.
But just basic therapists like myself who's at master's level,
right.
I'm just trying to pay my bills. So, investing in this and investing in that, I'm just like, I want to pay my mortgage.
Yeah. And plus, you're just not interested in it.
Well, if I had money and I understood it, I probably would be.
Yep.
But again, I'm just trying to not foreclose on my house.
Yeah. Gotcha. So anyway, we're talking about the millennials. Many of you opened accounts recently, and I'm easing my way in slowly into this market, not rushing. The other thing I'm noticing, and keep an eye on this, natural gas supplies are very, very tight. And we haven't seen this for many years. And so if we have a very, very cold winter, the ETFs, indexes that have natural gas, strictly natural gas, they'll take off. So keep an eye on that. If you see a big cold front coming, who knows? You can play with that if you want. It's up to you. GE hit a new low. I'm still watching and waiting. They have that new chairman, Larry Culp, I think's a genius. But right now the stock is at 8 and falling. And it seems like the world's coming to an end for GE stockholders. But if Culp does what he's done in the past, I think he was with Danaher, watch this, please. I don't know next year when the buy point will come in. But if you believe in Culp, keep an eye on GE, because it may be a very good thing to look at. General Dynamics all over the place. The pendulum swung way down. I think the stock went down to the high 160s. It was at 200 and it swung back to the 180. It's swinging back and forth. But I think it's probably something good to look at, and up to you. Pfizer really didn't get knocked down during the correction. Very, very interesting. They're still cutting back. There's still layoffs coming there. But they're doing a lot of collaborative efforts, so it's something definitely you want to watch. Google announced they're tripling their presence in Dublin. That low corporate tax rate the Irish have at 12% is really helping them. Euro tried to bully them into raising it, but they ignored them. Amazon may be moving part of their headquarters to Long Island City. Watch out, renters. My son rents an apartment in Astoria,
mm-hmm.
and he just signed a new lease, thank God, because if Amazon moves in and some of these big tech companies... Watch out.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out. Too bad incoming Governor Lamont could not make our city's enterprise zones with greatly reduced property taxes instead of places right now where capital goes to die. Governor Lamont, if you're listening, please consider it. If you're in one of those cookie-cutter allocation portfolios and have a big bond allocation, watch out for higher rates. They're going to hurt your bond portfolios. So your stocks may go up, and ironically, your bonds may go down. So you may want to pay attention to that or come in with your statement and let me take a look at it. You ever notice how the banks are slow to raise what they pay you, but raise those floating rates right away? Well, we're seeing that in the oil market right now. You ever notice how gasoline tax – oil's gone down big time, guys. Oil's down like 20% from the highs. Have you noticed any change at the pump yet? I haven't.
I'm still dreaming about the days when I could get a gallon of gas for a dollar.
You just aged yourself. You know?
I know. But I have this vivid memory in my head of the station. It's at like
exactly
99 cents. And until it goes back there, everything else is just too expensive.
I went cross country to Phoenix and L.A. in 1978 while I was still in college, and we were paying 59 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
So I'm really old.
Yeah.
I'm really old, so it's just amazing and everything else.
God, how did I get as old as you?
Oh, my God. Listen to her.
I'm supposed to be 18, dude. I'm supposed to be 18.
Hey, you want to hear one thing that really ticks me off, and maybe you can identify this? They estimate that 80% of hospital billing is wrong.
Oh, no,
the
really?
The codes are wrong, the billing's wrong, and your out-of-pocket is usually wrong, and not only is working for you. Never pay the first bill you get from your medical provider. Wait 3 months and then go in and review line by line the code. You could be saving yourself hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. This is a travesty, my friends. They always make the error in their favor, so pay attention to it.
That is fascinating.
Right, and especially in your 70s and 80s when you're not seeing things too well and you're looking at that bill and it looks like it's in triplicate because you didn't get your eyeglasses done because you don't have eyeglass insurance because they're $900 for a new set of eyeglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Please have a younger member of your family who loves to go line by line on stuff like that. So if you have any questions, give me a call during the week at 860-415-9614. Go to my website, O'BrienRetire.com. We're with Janine Gita today, and we'll be talking a little bit more in the last section about all our problems. So hang on. Don't go away because you're going to hear some really good, good stuff. Take care. We'll talk to you in a few minutes. Thank you. Welcome back, Dennis O'Brien. I am president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group and host of the Retirement Life Investing Show with Janine Gita. Hi, Janine. How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We're going to talk about some of the situations I ran into this week. You feel free to. This is a family guilt one here. Everybody can relate to family guilt. Okay, if you're a mother, you've laid it on. If you're a daughter, you've received it. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into a grandma this week. Okay, who co-signed her granddaughter's college loan.
Mm-hmm.
The girl had a full ride to UConn's nursing program, okay, but she wanted to go to school in Wyoming. So she ran up $120,000 in debt, and grandma co-signed for $70,000 of it. Grandma says she regrets it. And now the granddaughter says to her, why didn't you stop me from making that mistake?
Mm,
right?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of times when people want to blame and this and that, but there's a lot of shared responsibility there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, people will often just look at the person across from them and say, you should have. But very rarely are things so simply black and white. There's exactly. a lot of gray. I have a client that we say, we're living in the gray. We're living in the gray.
Yeah.
Because she would continually make the fallacy and of all or nothing.
Right.
And that would just contribute to the intensity of the feelings. And it's really not accurate.
Right.
You know, when I work with couples, you know, the husband or the wife would say to them, you always do this. And then, of course, how does the other person respond? Well, here's the one time when I didn't, you know. So the always or never, the extreme thinking, it just, it's not healthy and it's not accurate.
Yeah.
So that gray is the area to really focus on. And in that case, yeah, maybe grandma had some responsibility. Absolutely. But so did the girl. It's shared. And, you know, we're all human and doing the best that we can.
And that begs the question, where the heck were the girl's parents?
Yeah, well, again, shared responsibility somewhere
go.
In that gray.
There you go. So remember, people out there, when your kids are 18, 19, I'm not going to say they're morons, but let's just say they're...
they're not as adult as you think they are.
They might be big, but they don't have a clue what life's about.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get those credit card solicitations,
mm-hmm.
and all their friends are going to this fancy school and that fancy school, soon to fail out and come back home in a year,
mm-hmm.
their tail between their legs... You have to hold the line, even if your son comes home angry because he's going to mm-hmm. a school he doesn't think is prestigious as the one he wanted to go to.
It's very easy to look at children, even as young as, you know, 12 and 13 and 14, and think that they are so much more capable than they actually are.
Yeah.
Because they have this presentation that seems so adult.
Right.
But truth be told, their brains are still developing in so many ways.
Right.
Their capacity for things are not at the same level as, you know, when they're in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a setup to have such expectations on them.
Right.
And then they, of course, don't meet those expectations because their brains are not ready for that yet.
Yeah.
And then we get angry or we, you know, judge them. And then that makes the brain's continued growth have that much more of an obstacle or a challenge because we just gave it a challenge that it wasn't ready for and then condemned them when they failed.
Right, right, right. And plus the cost of things, the chances of making a mistake and the cost of mistakes
mm-hmm.
because the prices are so high.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You can change a family's fortunes if a mistake's made.
Oh, absolutely.
So they get a little crazy.
Yeah. I have a client right now. I started, and Dennis, I think I told you about this. I started participating in an app called BetterHelp.com where
right.
I do international counseling, and it's really a lot of fun.
Right.
But I have a gentleman on there that I'm working with now who... He went into this degree because his parents wanted him to, and he thought, all right, maybe that'll work. Again, he was 18 or whatever.
Yeah.
Turns out he hated the degree, but there's thousands and thousands of dollars that was dedicated to it.
Right.
He has not graduated yet, but he doesn't even really want to. He's
feels
like, okay,
trapped.
Exactly.
No.
He feels really trapped, and he feels guilty, and his parents feel like he broke their trust. And it's a really difficult situation.
Right, right, right. We had a waiter last night at our table who goes to Avery Point, and he lives in another part of the state, but he rents an apartment here, and he's majoring in marine biology. And I asked him if his parents are paying, and he said, no, he's on his own. He has thousands in student loan debt.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even in his junior year yet.
Mm.
I told him to switch majors quick.
Yeah.
He stormed off. I still gave him a nice tip.
Yeah.
Seriously, he doesn't have a clue. Marine biology is the major that all the little girls wanted to go into around here, and then they realized there's no jobs in the field.
Mm.
There's no job. Mystic Aquarium doesn't even have to pay for people. They're so desperate to get in there, they'll take these non-paying, extremely low-paying internships. Yeah. There's no money in it. There's nothing. Especially to borrow to get it, you know? And I wanted to kind of shake him, but he's not my kids.
My daughter is 16, and I'm slightly terrified because I don't have the money to pay for college. And there's a part of me that, like a lot of society, sits back and says, what's the reward for the investment?
Right.
You know, if I help her with, you know, which of course I would help her,
right.
what else am I going to do?
Right.
With, you know, hundreds and thousands and whatever, is she going to be able to get a job that is going to be able to repay that? Or is she getting a job to repay the loans that she got to get a job and this vicious cycle that creates?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So I tell everybody, listen, if they don't know what they want to do, send them to Avery Point or community college, let them figure it out. And then, because not everybody's academic. Some people are vocational. And if they want to become a plumber or they want to go into nursing or do something else, they can do that.
Absolutely.
And the best world of all is let them start their own something or other. The best thing in the world is work for yourself, not have some you-know-what telling you what to do all day. The one good thing about our jobs is we have our own.
I tell you, going into private practice, hey, by the way, the state budget cuts that caused me to lose my last job was the best thing that ever happened to
me. That's right.
Because it allowed me the, it gave me the push to start a private practice, and I was terrified, and some days I still am, but I love it.
But I've seen you come a long way even in the last year.
Oh, yes.
You're a lot more confident than you
were last year.
Absolutely. I love seeing that, by the way.
What?
I love seeing that when someone starts hitting their stride. And
That's kind of like the therapist feeling. Because when I have a client who comes in and they're in the dumps and then 6 months later or however long later, they're feeling confident and they come in and they say, you know, Janine, I really don't have anything to talk about this week. I'm like, yes, that is awesome.
Yes.
That is so fabulous.
But give me a check anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the irony of my job. My job is to get rid of my clients, and then they don't pay me anymore. But that's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I find that I'm more interested in the person and me getting along well. Than how much money they have.
Oh, absolutely. Because I've got clients where I'm like, look, just don't even, you know, don't stress yourself out. Wait and see what the insurance happens, and we'll deal with it. I don't need you
to
stress yourself out.
You're not
exactly.
The insurance is giving you a hard time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Do you take cash, too, or do you only do insurance?
No, I don't take cash. Of course I take cash.
Are you from New York originally?
What gives it away?
The only thing you didn't do is call me a moron, you know? I do appreciate that. You can't call me names until afternoon, okay? Do I not take cash?
Yeah, but I do, I in learning all of the things that I had to learn in opening the private practice, I did spend a lot of time getting on insurance panels because I do know that that is just so much easier for clients. And when I was looking for therapy, I mean, my first thing was, you know, do you take my insurance? And if you don't, how cheap can you make it? Because it's
so
not easy.
Chiropractor does, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and we don't bother with the insurance anymore.
Yeah. And one of the things that I do as well that I wish that therapists would have done for me was I offer the first initial introduction appointment, you know, gratis.
Yeah.
You know, to go into a counseling thing and to have to fill out tons of paperwork and pay for it. And then you might not even gel with that therapist. You might not like that person. Maybe they're just not what fits for you.
Right.
And then you went through all of that. And then to do that two or three times, you know, no wonder people don't want to go to therapy. They're like, I don't even want to go through the process that it takes to get in. So I tell the people who are interested, hey, you know what? Come meet me. Tell me what your goals are. I will tell you about me and the service that I provide.
Right.
If you think they gel and they match, great. I'll give you paperwork. Here we go. If it doesn't, then so be it.
How can people reach you?
They can reach me through, actually, all of my information is on my website, which again is the J9CounselingAndConsultation.com. J9CounselingAndConsultation.com. And it's all on there. My phone numbers, and email and all of that.
Or reach out to me and I'll forward.
Or reach out to Dennis.
And I'll forward the information to her.
And just to mention as well, in addition to the counseling, I also do divorce mediation.
Okay.
Which I very much enjoy. Again, helping people who are going through the difficulties of divorce and helping it to be as less painful. It's always painful, but to at least help them through the emotional parts of it, I very much enjoy. I do that hand in hand with a lawyer. I don't do that independently.
Right.
Also, people who are struggling with adoption, whether it's transitions or helping the child with their history or whatever the case may be. My own daughter is adopted.
Okay.
And help for helpers. I do that as well. So if you are a caretaker, a nurse, a teacher, if you are constantly giving of yourself and have very little that giving of yourself and have very little to give back to yourself. Those are the populations that I particularly love to help. So.
Hey, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. This was so much more fun than I expected.
It's not that scary.
Oh, it was scary, but it was also fun.
I'm an easy guy. Anyway, if you want to make an appointment with me, go to O'BrienRetire.com and hit the magic button. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.